fun facts about Rick and I so you have an idea of where we come from. We both love gardening, sunsets, touring Michigan inland lakes with our boat. We've been married for 40 years. We have 7 adult children. We have 7 grandchildren. We have 1 great-granddaughter. We've currently been having fun with a little book that I wrote, doing little book presentations for children. And a fun thing that happened to us on our 30th anniversary was we were up in Ludington one time, and we were waiting for the sunset, and all of a sudden a sunset appeared, and there was a cross in the middle of the sun. Praise the Lord. So to tell you about my husband, he's a PK. He grew up in Montana. He attended Fenton High School. He graduated from Linden. He builds guitars. He's been singing and writing songs for Jesus for over 40 years. He's been in Christian bands. If anyone's familiar with the one of the top world guitarists, Phil Kagi, Phil Kagi did a whole album with one of my husband's guitar pedals, which was really exciting and fun for us. My husband taught youth and helped with youth groups. He acted in Christian musicals like Music Machine at his parents' church. One time, he wanted to do something fun for his mother. She always loved surprises from her sons. And one time he rode his ninja sports bike right in the middle of the church during VBS.
To be clear, it was planned.
He was an auto shop owner for many years. He's now retired, and some of his customers down in Brighton nicknamed him the Godman of Brighton. So I grew up in Plymouth. I graduated from Heartland High School. After I found the Lord in my early 20s, I prayed for a Christian man, and one of the things on my list was a guitar player. So praise the Lord. I spent 16 years as home mom and children's church teacher. The last 16 years, I've been employed by U of M Hospital. And last year, my book, You Can Be a Friend of God, Discovering the Fruits of the Spirit, was published. And that's been a real joy ride ever since. I'll share more about that in a few minutes. I know Pastor prayed, but I just felt really led. I wanted to say a prayer over this beautiful church. We've been really blessed by getting to know you, and I've just noticed such a servant heart in this congregation, and you work in unity. You just have beautiful people here. Father, we thank you for Argentine Church of the Nazarene, such a great treasure in this community. Thank you how you love the people and call them your treasured possession. Thank you for Jesus who shed his blood on the cross so we can be forgiven of our sins. Thank you for this opportunity to gather together and honor you. Fill our hearts with love for one another, especially our families. Help us to walk in unity, and may we be instruments to spread your word and lead the lost to you. Encourage us and help our testimonies to be pleasing to you. We love you and thank you for your Holy Spirit you sent to counsel, comfort, and help us. Be with us tonight in Jesus' name. My husband has a song he's going to play for you now called Disciples.
They walked down by the water and said to them, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. If you would just be willing to surrender it all, a billion. They were his disciples. a matter of trust, just like it is with us. We were here to us. So they laid down their nets, and they laid down their lives. They gave up everything. They gave all they had for the sake of the lost. They were his disciples, living in this world was a matter of trust, just like it is with us.
Yes, we want to be his disciples. We want to learn God's ways. For me, there's one thing about learning God's ways is that I have a little difficulty with obedience. But praise the Lord, he's working on me and he's helping me, and I'll get there eventually, right? Amen. So I have a question tonight. Have you ever read a portion of scripture in the Bible that created a burning passion in your heart, a passion that always stayed with you, a passionate desire to serve Christ and help build the kingdom of God? There are so many ways to serve, and I can see that this family of believers have beautiful hearts of servanthood. I had an experience. I was studying, and have you ever had where the word just jumped out at you? Well, sometimes you have to pray and read and just stick with it. Sometimes it doesn't happen right away. Sometimes you have to just keep reading. Well, I was studying for VBS 1 year, and I had this experience where God burned a passion in my heart, and thank the Lord it's still there. I was 22 years old when I surrendered my life to God and accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. And I have to tell you that it was very interesting that day, or when I received Christ. I looked back and I said to myself, I've wasted 22 years when I could have been walking with Jesus and serving him. And you won't believe this, but I cried for 3 days. And now that I'm in my 60s, it's like, it's kind of funny because you think, oh, you were 22 years old and you thought that your life was wasted. But anyways, God is still there, and he always has an open door for us to serve him. So soon after I received Christ, I was dating my husband, Rick, and which was really interesting because my mother kept telling me, Karen, you need to go visit Pastor Essenberg's church. And you know how it is when you're 22 years old, you think you know everything. So I did not rush over to that church. But eventually the Lord put us together. It was so funny because his mother would come in. I had a little florist shop with a Christian gift shop in the corner. And his mother would come in, and she would talk to me, and we talked about everything, and we were always talking about what we need to pray about, and she would ask me to pray for her son, Rick. And so here I was praying for Rick for like over a year before I even met him. And so
she had no idea what she was getting into.
So then he asked me how we, you know, ended up going out.
You want me to tell the other part of the story?
Sure.
She used to own a shop called Heritage Gifts and Flowers in the old Hartman Plaza down there on 59. And I went in there, and my mom had told me about her, and I thought, okay, whatever. Didn't think about it. Went in there to buy flowers for another girl I was going to take out at her flower shop. And I saw her on the floor, and I was like, she's a German babe. I got in here. So I went on that date with that other girl, and it was such a dud. It was a sweet girl and everything, but my heart was already taken. And but that's how it happened, actually, and God moved it from there.
And then I learned a big lesson. Listen to your mother and do what she says. But anyways, it was so wonderful. We were going to church while we were dating, and his father, my father-in-law, who was a pastor, asked me if I would teach in the church. And oh my goodness, I was so excited. I was like, oh my goodness, an opportunity to learn the word. Because when you teach, you study. And when you study, you learn. So I was just so excited about teaching. And I just thoroughly enjoyed it. And then summer came around, and they asked me if I would help with vacation Bible school. So when I was studying for vacation Bible school, I was reading the scripture, John 21:15-17. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Tend my sheep." The third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Those three words just burned in my heart. My heart was filled with a passion at that moment. The word came alive. In this passage of scripture, Jesus was reinstating Peter, giving him the message, "You are still on my team." Often we look back at our failures and feel like we aren't qualified to serve. The message of the gospel is quite contrary. God has many assignments for us. God looks at us and he doesn't see the failures, he sees potential. Always, he always sees potential. He always looks forward. Well, from that point, not only did I want to learn the word and teach, but I was just filled with passion to do it. And when you serve with passion, you're filled with joy. Watching others serve with passion fills us with joy too. Like when Paul said in Philippians 2:1-3, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look not to your own interests, but also to the interest of others." Well, that's the heart we need. We need a heart of interest for our neighbors, our brothers, our sisters. Some are so difficult. I have a brother that doesn't want to see me. You know, so many relationships are so difficult. But we have to have that heart, a heart of interest, to care about their spirit, to care about their spiritual condition. Building the kingdom starts with considering the spiritual needs in our families, relatives, neighbors, planning God's word, and encouraging others unto good works. as it is spoken in Hebrews 11:24 through 25, think of ways to encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now, the day of his coming back again is drawing near. My husband has a song to encourage us called Worth It All.
Actually, I'll give a little explanation. The song is written, excuse me, kind of one of my Sunday school students actually ended up being a missionary here in Jaya, Indonesia. And it was kind of for her and a lot of those people, pastors and people that totally give their lives to the Lord. And, you know, sometimes you feel like there's not a reward. And you know in your heart there really is, but it was just kind of to help me to keep focused on doing anything for the Lord. You know, it's going to be work. It's going to be hard sometimes, but just keep going, you know. Felt worth it all. Some day the skies will open wide, and I will look into your eyes. Some day the clouds will separate, and I will see face to face. It's then that I'll know, then that I'll know it's been worth it all.
Amen. He's so worth it. So Jesus said three times to Peter, we know. The first words he said to Peter were, feed my lambs. So for me, when I think of lambs, I think more of children. It's my personal opinion when I read this. But so when I think about feed my lambs, I just have a couple stories I just want to share with you, experiences where God graciously gave us the privilege of working with children. One experience was I was studying for a vacation Bible school, and it was so sweet that year when God touched my heart. It's amazing. Like, it was just like he wanted to stoke the flame in me. So when I went to VBS that year, they said, Karen, here's your class. And it was like 26 children. I mean, that was, for our little church, that was huge. And I was like, oh my goodness, Lord, what are you doing here? You're giving me so many children this year. Fortunately, I had some good helpers. But that year that the Lord was just stoking the flame in me, the children were just so excited about learning their verses. They were so excited about reciting them. We made them these cute little lamb vests that they could wear, and they were singing their songs, and they were just so enjoying the year, and it was just such a joy that year. So I was like, Lord, not only did you burn this passion in my heart to share your word even more, but you just gave me like the best experience with all these little children full of joy, wanting to learn, wanting to sing about Jesus. And they were just every day just coming in so excited. And then after that year, the next year, I was like, oh my goodness, I don't know if we can top what happened last year, but I told our children, and we had a house full of, Rick and I had a house full of children, and I said, we need to pray. We need to ask God, maybe there's someone in our neighborhood that we need to invite to Vacation Bible School. Maybe there's someone here that we could pick up and take. So anyways, we were driving home from school one day, and we pulled into the driveway because I had to pick up my children because we had some of our children were at a Christian school, so we didn't have the bus, so I had to drive and pick them up. So we pulled into the driveway one day, and there was like this six-week-old puppy in our driveway. And we're like, how in the world did this puppy get put in our driveway? I mean, this is so strange. I mean, it was just, we couldn't figure it out. But anyways, our children jumped out of the van, and they went over and they picked up the puppy, and they're holding the puppy, and then they turned and looked at me and said, Mom, we think we know whose puppy this is. And they told me about a family in the back of the neighborhood, which was at least two and a half, three blocks away from our house. They said, they have a new puppy. Mom, I think it's their puppy. And I'm like, okay, well, we all got back in the van, and the kids said, well, you know, Mom, we'll show you where they live. So we drove back there, and they showed me where they lived, and I went and knocked on the door, and I said, I know this is really unusual, but could this possibly be their puppy? And they said, oh, my goodness, we've been looking all over for this puppy. Where did you find our puppy? And I said, your puppy was in our driveway. And they're like, how in the world did our puppy get in your driveway? You live at the other end of the sub. It just didn't make sense. So I thought, okay, Lord, you must be doing something here. So I thought, I need to get to know these people. So I started talking to the mom and found out that the children's father had died, and they had been going through some really, really difficult things, and a combination of things they were going through, and they were all not good. And so anyways, I got to know the mom, and she allowed me to take her children to Vacation Bible School and drive them there and bring them home. And it was just so incredible. Those children, their hearts were so broken, and they were so hurting. But each day after Vacation Bible School, they looked better. They looked more peaceful. They looked more calm. They looked comforted. They looked like they had some hope in their eyes. And it was just such an incredible thing. You never know how God's going to answer your prayers, but you do know that when you pray something that's according to His will, which bringing people to know God's word is definitely His will, you know that He's going to do something incredible. Well, those children ended up just becoming friends of ours, and we ended up mentoring them over the years, but they were so peaceful, and they said, we really need Jesus in our lives, and it was just a beautiful thing. And eventually, the mother ended up going to church. But one thing that happened after the Vacation Bible School was the little girl came over and knocked on the door one day and said, is Mr. Essenberg home? And I said, well, honey, you know, he's working, but he'll be home pretty soon. You want to just wait? He should be home soon. And so she came over, and she had a little girl with her, and she said, Mrs. Essenberg, my friend really, really needs to hear the song that Mr. Essenberg played and sang on his guitar. And I said, okay, I'm sure he'll do it for you. So anyways, Rick came home shortly, and he played the song for the little girl, and right there in our kitchen, all four of us were crying. We were praying, and the little girl said she needed Jesus in her life, and it was such a beautiful thing, such a beautiful thing. It's such a privilege to serve. Another thing that happened about a year or two after that year, my mother-in-law had always directed children's choirs and put on children's Christian musicals, and I had always picked up children and brought the children there so they could be involved in the rehearsals. And it was so amazing because so many of the children that we would go and pick up didn't have a clue about God. Their parents were so involved in so many other things, and they had no idea that they needed Christ in their lives too. But the one year, the musical she was working on was The Fruits of the Spirit. And I also had some material that I was studying. And it was so amazing to me how powerful God was. When I started studying The Fruits of the Spirit, the Lord started showing me how I needed to change, how I needed to make changes in my life. And the Holy Spirit did a huge work in me with the Fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Here, there is no conflict with the law. So he touched my heart so strongly, and I was so blessed by the musical that my mother-in-law put on with the Fruits of the Spirit that I just said a prayer to the Lord one day. I just said, Father, I said, this material is so wonderful, and it's changed my life so beautifully, and the children have just learned so much. I said, if you would like to give me something creative with the Fruits of the Spirit to teach children, I would love to write it. Well, 29 years later, I was sleeping, and the Lord woke me up at 3:15 in the morning. And for me, it's a miracle if I get out of bed. I don't like to get out of bed in the middle of the night. I don't like to be woken up in the middle of the night. But all these words kept flowing through my head. You can be a friend of God when you have love in your heart. Just this whole manuscript was flowing through my head. And so I had to get up, and I got some paper and pencil, and I started writing. And my husband woke up, and he came in the room, and he said, Karen,
asked her what time the Lord woke her up, and I'd been telling her for a year, that for some reason, the numbers 315 kept popping into my head. So I thought, well, my birthday is March 15th. Am I going to die at 315 on my birthday? All this stuff goes through your head, you know, when you get numbers and stuff, you go, all right, no, it's not that. I know you're not saying that, Lord. And just, it was, for me, just a confirmation, you know, that the Lord's saying, I gave this to her, just so you know. You know, it was, that really was more for me, I think, but for her, too, to confirm that, yes, this was God speaking to her. A lot of times, God will do that. He'll use something really simple like that, something that's in your head, and you think, why would I go? Because after I spoke those words with her, I didn't have that again after that. So I knew that was like, okay, just a confirmation. Some big, you know, spiritual thing, but it was, regardless, it was a supernatural thing that God said, hey, gave her this. Trust it, you know, so.
You want to tell him the story? And it was interesting. This whole thing came about so fast. I wrote the manuscript, and then the Lord actually, I had all these ideas of where I wanted to send it for a publisher, and the Lord was like telling me in my head, send it to this certain publisher. And in fact, they had never published a children's manuscript before. They had never published a children's book before, but when they received my manuscript, they said, you know what? We're going to take it. We want it. And the Lord miraculously gave me an 18-year-old illustrator, which is another story, but I won't share it today. But everything happened just so fast, and but what happened was the joy. Rick and I had no idea the joy that God wanted to bring into our lives with sharing with children. When we go around and we share the book and we talk to them about the fruits of the Spirit, then the little children, when we take the microphone around and we let them tell their story, and when the children share their stories about the fruits, it fills us with so much joy. We're just so amazed that you know, when you give, God gives so much back to you. It can be hard. It can be inconvenient to step out and serve him. But when you give to him, he just gives so much back. Now my husband has a song for you. Do you want to do the jingle, or
do the jingle? Jingle short. Actually, this has been going through. It had gone through my head for almost a year, just playing this little tune, and I couldn't come up with words for it. I'm like, why not? It's a really cool little tune, and like, so I just kind of left. I just kept playing it all the time. Kind of how it goes, and I was like, all right, I don't know. The day that her books arrived at our house, I got the package off the front porch, two great big boxes, and as soon as I saw the label on the front of the book, I said, that's a jingle for your book. And I don't write jingles, believe me. Yeah, I have friends that do that really well, and I thought, well, okay. Anyways, I'll do it for you. It's real short.
Can be a friend of God. You can be his friend. You can be a friend of God. You can be his friend. Do you want joy? Real joy. Do you want peace to last forever? You can be
with his eyes.
She threw this song at me at the last minute, so I hope I do this right. I wrote this probably 35, 40 years ago. And I was thinking about, you know, if we could see through the eyes of Christ, see the world through his eyes, how different would we see the world? You know, some people you say, man, that person's just a pain to be around, or that person is just hard to be around, or whatever. You know, and if we could see people through his eyes, though, through the love that he has for them, it changes the whole perspective. It changes everything, you know, it really does. And he really calls us to be like him, to see like him. It's all in scripture, you know, but anyways, this song is called See With His Eyes.
We could see with his eyes what wonder he would see. We could feel in his heart his love would become so real. Jesus came to save the poor lost sinners, and his eyes saw the whole.
Amen. So Jesus also said to Peter, tend my sheep. So I looked up the meaning of tend. Tend is managing, organizing, paying attention to, meeting the needs. When we are tending or caring for those who cross our path, friends, family, we are earning the right to minister to them, building relationships that prove we truly care for them. Like how Jesus provided a large catch of fish for the disciples. John 21:5-6, he called out, friends. Friends, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. Then he said, throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get plenty of fish. So they did, and they couldn't draw the net because there were so many fish in it. It's just like Jesus. He wants to help us. He wants to help us with our normal, everyday lives. God is our resource. So Jesus, he met the needs for them, and then he called them to eat breakfast with them, which opened the door after he had met their needs and fed them. And then they were feeling close to him, and it opened the door for him to teach them. Also, when I think of tend my sheep, I think about how the shepherds, they leave their flock and go out and find the lost lamb. Tending takes time. Tending costs us something. It could be something material or time. But when we give of our time, we are honoring God, and he promises, for those who honor me, I will honor. Jesus also said to Peter, feed my sheep. When I think about feed my sheep, I can't help but think about all the people that my husband has touched over the years. Years and years, he ministered in his shop. I used to call it the secret pulpit. Because people would come into his shop, and they couldn't go anywhere because he was fixing their car. So they were a captive audience. But anyways, I just want to ask my husband to share something. A couple of times that he had an opportunity to feed the sheep.
Well, initially when I was getting ready to open my shop, getting ready to build a building, I had already opened the shop. I'd been in business 12 plus years, and we bought a piece of property on Old 23, and could not get approval from the township. They just kept fighting us all the way. Found out later the attorney sitting on the board wanted my property, so ulterior motive. But anyways, God's over all that. So I went on the property after they turned us down, and just by myself, and I said, "Lord, what is it? Is it something with me? Do I need to do something?" And it was kind of like my dad put his arm around me and pulled me up and said, "What's this place going to be to you?" I said, "Well, Lord, is it going to be a place to work?" It's like when Dad would pull me tighter and go, "Oh, what's this place going to be to you?" And I said, "Okay, place of ministry." And I said, "Okay." I fell to my knees and just, I'm all by myself. One tear ran down my cheek, and I was like, because I got it. I realized, okay, that's what he wants. And I kind of knew that, I guess, in my heart, but he wanted to confirm it and cement it in my heart, you know, and say, this is for real. And I think it was the next day or 2 days later, we got final approval from the township to build our building. When we were in the meeting, I was in with my architect, Bill Colley, who was a fantastic architect, but he was not a believer, I don't think. And him and I were sitting there in the room, and they were about ready to turn us down that time, and she had gone upstairs, she was praying and crying, and a man named Paul Knopp, who had cancer, he's gone now, but he was the building superintendent, supervisor, and he got back early, which they didn't plan on, from the sewer meeting. And he came in and he asked Karen, he said, "Well, how's it going down there?" She goes, "Not good for us." He said, "Who are you?" She said, "Diamond Break." He goes, blankety blank, grabbed our file and came downstairs. And my architect and I are sitting there. Bill looks at me like, "Man, they're going to shoot us down." He didn't say it, but I could tell. They're going to shoot us down again. And, well, you ever been in a room when God just creates like a vacuum? Everything just stops. It's like time stops. Literally 1 minute, dead silence in that room. Nobody said a word. And all of a sudden, I knew God's doing something. And I heard his footsteps just bounding down the stairs. It was Paul, sick with cancer. But he wasn't going to let this happen. And because he knew he'd done everything they asked. Just little things, you know. But he ran up to the front, and I went, "That's it. He's going to use Paul." He sat on the end, you know, they're in that U shape, and we're out there at the little table feeling like these little tiny people, and he comes up on the end, throws down our papers, and the city attorney's looking at him like, "Oh, boy." And he said, "You can't do this to this man. He's done everything we've asked him to do. You can't do this. You know where this will end up." And he pointed right at the city attorney. "Yeah, we ended up in court." And they passed us. And I reached over and I said, "Paul," I said, "thank you." And he shook my hand and he said, "It was the right thing to do, right?" We walked outside, though, after I signed the thing, you know, saying, "Yep, we're good." And my architect, Bill, said, "I don't understand this, right?" He said, "I've been doing this for a lot of years. I've never seen a city, township, anything turn around like that, that fast." And I said, "Well, I understand." I said, "I serve a great big God. And he loves me." And I said, "And you did a nice job on the architecture too." So it was an amazing event, you know, and that was, we built the building. And one more story I'll share. And how much time do you want me to take, Rob? 2-3 hours? I'll play a few more songs. But I had a man come in one time. I had a lot of people. I led some people to the Lord in my office. Quite a few, actually. And this one man came in, though, and he was probably in his 60s, I guess. And had a nice Corvette, and he'd had it everywhere in town. Nobody could figure out why it was just randomly popping. Well, if you know anything about carburetors, the float's probably bad and it's dumping fuel. Leftover fuel's popping in the cylinder after a while, or laying in the intake and making it do that. Well, so we took it apart, and yep, sure enough, the float was bad. Put a new float in it for them. While they're fixing it, I got in a conversation with them, just talking guy stuff, and we started talking about fathers. And I told him I had a great father. He was a pastor, a good dad. Wasn't perfect, but he was a good father. And he said, yeah, my dad was pretty rough on me. I said, well, do you have a son? Yeah, but we haven't talked in 2 years. And it just kind of broke my heart, but I said, you know, I said, the father-son relationship is the same if you're the father or you're the son. It's still a father-son relationship. And I related that to God the Father and how he, you know, took us orphans into his family. And he couldn't look at me. A couple times I caught him kind of looking out the window, like, put his hand up. I know what's happening. He was tearing up. And this is a rough, tough dude, too. And I shared the gospel with him. And I did it in a different way, not like, hey, you're going to hell. You know, you're unsaved. And I didn't do that. I just talked to him about God's mercy towards us and his fathership towards us. Well, he got it. And when I found out, he paid for his car, and he said, thank you. I said, well, I'm glad to take care of him. He was leaving. He went out the door, actually, and he came back in. And I had told him about, you know, told him the gospel, and he said, you know, I was thinking about that with Jesus that you were talking about. He says, I do believe that. I do. And he walked away, and he said he was going to call his son. And I just asked the Lord, I said, was that a confession of faith by him? He said, absolutely. So my heart was, is that, and that's what I missed. I sold it last February, and that's what I miss about my business, being able to share Christ with people. But everywhere we are in the mission field, they're all over the place. That's why two of the songs, I just realized that the one song I've done a long time, but two of them talk about the fields are white to the harvest. They are all around us, you guys. If we talk to people about Christ and share that with them, there's so many hurting hearts out there that just, they have nobody to turn to, nobody to talk to. We might be the only person that says hi to them in the store. And that's what he calls us to. He calls us to be a different people, peculiar people, because this is not our home. We're visiting here. You know, who was it? Larry Norman said, I'm just visiting this planet. So.
Will you share the David story?
Hmm?
Will you share the David story?
What?
Will you share the David story?
Oh, the David story. Our son David was probably seven or eight. And I hate spanking my children. We didn't hardly ever have to spank our kids. Maybe once or twice each, and that was it. The stuff they did wrong, and they knew it was wrong. David had done something, I don't remember what it was. It doesn't matter. And as I'm walking upstairs, dreading this moment, he's already up in his room in his bed crying because he knows he's going to get a spanking. And we didn't pound on him, but, you know, a couple swats with a, not even a belt usually, but I got in his room, before I got in there, the Lord said, show him mercy. All right, I know what that is. I sat down in his bed and he's crying already. He's like got that fear look in his eyes. And David, I said, do you know what the word mercy means? No. I said, mercy means you deserve a punishment, but you don't get that punishment. I said, tonight, God told me to show you mercy. I said, do you know what it means now? And he goes, yeah.
No spanking.
You can imagine that.
No spanking.
Yeah. Relief. And he hugged me so tight, and we both cried, because that was the moment, you know. It was special for him and special for me. But here's what really happened, too, is I prayed with him, and I went out of his, walking out of his room, shut his light off, and opened the door back up. I said, David? Yeah, Dad. I said, if you love me, you'll do what I say. Okay. Good night. Close the door. And as I'm walking down the stairs, the Holy Spirit's saying to me, what did you tell him? If you love me, you'll do what I say. And all the way down those stairs, I cried like a baby. I realized that's what he wants from us. Obedience. Just do what I say. God's way is always better. I mean, I'm 68 years old. So I've had a lot of road under my feet, you know, but I've always found that when I go against God's plan, things get worse. They don't ever, 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 ever get better. When I do it God's way, it always gets better. Because he's got it all planned out if we follow the path. You know, it's like I taught Sunday school years ago, and well, she's taught for 13, I did 9 years, and I was ready to retire, but anyways, I told the kids one time, I said, there's a crossroads in life. And you come up to those crossroads, and you don't ask God where he wants you to go. Go right, go left, go straight, go back even. It says, I'm just going to go left. They have these optional choices. And times God will give you optional choices, and anyone's fine to me. But you pray about it anyway. So, and a lot of the kids told me years later, when they heard Tal said, that lesson stuck with me. Well, it stuck with me too, but I said, so you go on to left, you were supposed to go straight, and you go to the left, you end up at another intersection you're never supposed to be at. Then what are you going to do? Either you're going to go all the way back, or God's going to have to redirect around to where he wanted you originally. Sometimes you won't ever get back to that original thing because he already used somebody else to do that. But I don't know about you, but I want to be used by God. I don't want to be used by myself or by the world. I want God to use me for his purposes. It's more important anyway. Anything the world could have always fails. I mean, look at the world condition now. I mean, it's a mess. The U.S. is a mess. You know, we just watched a video. How many of you know who Larry Norman is? He's like the granddaddy of Christian rock. But Larry had some amazing songs. And the last words he said, the last concert I think he did was in Norway before he passed away in 2008. And we had a word over him when we saw him in concert. We were the last people in the auditorium with him. He sat down in the front row with us for 20 minutes. We prayed over him, and I believe God gave, well, I know he did. He gave Karen a word for him saying, Lord says he's going to give you at least 10 more years. He died 11 years later, almost today. And when I heard that, I was like, wow. So time is critical. But Larry, I was going to say this at the end of that concert, the last concert he did, his last words coming off the stage were, don't get left behind. And if you think of it, look up Larry Norman. Wish we'd all been ready. And it's a really powerful song, very simple, you know, about accepting Christ. That's all we're going to be ready. Anyway, I'm going on here. Go ahead.
Oh, you're going to sing, honey. You're going to sing.
What one?
Creator of the world.
Oh. Some of these are alternate tunings. I can do. We should explain. This is the little girl that came to the house. She wanted me to play this song, and she accepted Christ that sitting. So. Creator of the world, come dwell in me. Yeah, I'm
of my soul.
I never, ever get tired of hearing him play. And it's been over 40 years, and every time he plays, I still cry.
I don't know if that means good or bad.
It means the Holy Spirit touches me every time he plays. Thank you, Lord.
Well, I wrote a song for her wedding, too, and she always tells me, my aunt's all cried. I'm like, what's that?
Thank you for allowing us to be part of your evening today. We're so happy that we could come and share, and our hearts are just so full of joy because of him. And if anyone here today needs a touch from the Lord, I just pray that the Father will just touch every need, any need that's in this room tonight. I just pray, Father, that you'll touch, that your beautiful Holy Spirit that brings healing will just come and touch anyone here today that needs encouragement or just any kind of touch, Lord, that you would touch everyone that comes today. And Lord, do remind us, Father, that it doesn't matter how old we are or what stage of life we're in, that you desire us to feed your sheep. You desire to use us. You desire us to serve. Father, just open opportunities for us to continue to serve and build your kingdom, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Only if they want an encore.
Well, not an encore, just one song, but did I do Still Small Voice?
No.
You want to hear one more?
Yeah.
Oh, I hear your still small voice whispering to me the words I long to hear from you. When my world is crashing in,
think about Israel. Funny story about Larry Norman. He did this a lot when he was singing. What happened, he was doing a concert, he broke his finger. He said, and it hurt so bad that I'd hold my hand up like this to hurt less. I'm like, really? Remember that?
Okay. Thank you.